This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, guys, my name is David Fix. I'm also known as Doc Pinball by many people. How many new time people do we have here at the seminar today? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And Mr. Some who don't know they've been here more than once. He's still on his trip. But anyway, earlier this year I took on a new position. I left my 9-to-5 job. I kind of semi-retired. I was an account auditor for a major financial company that dealt with Citibank and Chase and Bank of America. And I had enough of the financial world. So I took on a part-time job, kind of. But I'm currently working for a company. I can't actually disclose the company, but it's a gigantic arcade here in the United States. And their uniforms look a lot like the one I'm wearing up there on the screen. It's kind of funny. I shot this picture just earlier this week because my boss comes in to me, says, Ice Electronics out of Buffalo has this new game with knocking down clowns by throwing it. And I looked at it and I said, that's not new. That's kind of old. And so I brought in, I took a picture of the knockdown clowns from Paytech from 1978, just to show that what is old is sometimes new again. Of course, Ice is now charging a couple hundred, a couple thousand for that game to put on location. So currently in my position at the other company, I am a technician. I repair video games. I repair, right now, been working on bowling machines, Brunswick lanes, and I've taken my knowledge of pinball repair that I've learned from being here at Expo for the last 7 years and been able to roll that into a full-time job fixing games out of the home and also having a small part-time job at a gigantic arcade in the United States. What we're going to talk about tonight is Pinball and Arcade Repair 101. And doing that, we're going to do solid state and EM. Okay, some of you remember me from last year. I had the good Dr. Scott and Dr. Ron both help me. We pulled through an EM machine last year. We basically stripped it down and we got it back up and running in an hour and a half. And that was a game that we had not, we literally popped the lock off that day. We didn't even get a chance to look at that machine. That was a little hairy. But learning pinball repair, solid state or EM, crosses over also into arcade machines, okay, arcade classics, like the game that's sitting right to the left-hand side. Anybody have an idea what game that is? Huh? Nope. Not Seawolf. Close. It's actually Sea Raider, the game that came out first. It came out in 72, I believe, 72 or 71. And then Seawolf came out about 2 years later, which was a much bigger hit because they started making these, and it was just slow churning for Midway at that time. But by the time it finally caught on, more arcades wanted them. Now, the other game was over the side. That's my buddy Nick Lane. He's in Buffalo. He's my, I call him my Padawan, my apprentice kind of thing. He's got a great job. He babysits my pinball machines. Currently, I have too many pinball machines to be in my house, so he does a great babysitting fee, which I give him the machines. He does a shop job, and he gets to play them and test them and tell me what's broken on them, and he just continues playing them, and then when I'm ready to move them out, they go. Currently, he has enough machines in there that I do not want to disclose on here because my wife may listen to this podcast or this recording and now know that I have more machines in other people's houses. Currently, I have a garage full. As you can see, the Sea Raider, which just left, but behind that is probably another 20 pins back there. And so you can take what you're going to learn is you're taking the knowledge of pinball repair and other things to the next level, including in this. So let's talk about that for a minute. What is in your toolbox? Now, this is an interesting question. Last year or 2 years ago, Dr. Scott went into a toolbox seminar, I can't remember, and he went through all of those. I'm going to bring out my toolbox. Now, I do in-home repairs, so I charge anywhere between $40 to $60 an hour to show up to repair your pinball machines, your arcades, and whatnot. So presentation is always right, but you also want to have the right tools to do the job. This is a Platt case. Many professionals in the industry use certain type cases. We're going to go through this, bits and parts, and you're going to, if you want notes, take some notes, because we're going to talk about every tool imaginable that I use out of this case. This makes my life easier. And we're going to talk about this entirely. You have your normal set of pliers, of course, screwdrivers, you know, long ones, short ones, that's fine. How about one of these? This is a pinball machine tool that most pinball mechanics should have at least one or two of these in their box. Anybody have an idea what this is? And I'm excluding Ron and Dr. Scott because they should know this. Huh? No, it is... What's that? No, it's not an angle screwdriver. This is to reset your leaf switches. This is a leaf switch. You can see right through it real easy. It's got a nice small slot. You can put that in between your leaf switches on your rollover switches or anything like that, and you can bend them down. You can adjust the gap ratio correctly. They come in many flavors. They're $7. You can get these from Pinball Life. You can get them from Pinball Resource. Ask Steve Young for one. They come in angle, flat, straight. And if you're going to work on a pinball machine, you definitely want to have something like this to make adjustments, especially on EM machines. You don't want to go haul crazy adjusting switches, but you definitely are going to want a nice tool to do that, because a pair of pliers just does not really get in there correctly. And this, you definitely can angle in to do the work you need to do. So those are some key tools that I use. I'm going to show you some others. This guy is also very cool to have. This is fun. He is in the same spot. This is a... Anybody want to take a guess what this is? Yeah, it's a quarter drive, quarter ratchet. So the nice thing about this is we can get into nice tight corners and ratchet it in, on, off, saves a lot of room. You ever get in that little nick area where you can't get a normal drive or a socket drive, you're going to want something like this. Now, the key thought on this, it's a quarter drive. So what are we talking about, quarter drive? Well, let me show you something. This you can get. You can get these in hardware stores. You can get them in automotive stores. In fact, there's a new flavor of these that work really nice. They are just look just like a normal ratchet like this, but it has a center, and they're like $3 or $4. So you can get these anywhere. Harbor Freight, yeah. Which we're going to get to Harbor Freight right now. Now, let me tell you something. I work for this nice company who also buys me tools. Now, here... Huh?
Hopefully not from
Not from Harbor Freight. No, they buy expensive tools. I've only been there a few weeks, and they went out and I think they spent about $300 worth of tools for me right now. So that was quite nice. Because I have my own tools, and I asked them, do I need to bring my tools? And they said, no, we will supply the tools for you. Now, I'm going to show you this right here. This is a Phoenix drive kit. They are about $80 online. This will fit your quarter drive. In that quarter drive, you have every bit imaginable that you're going to need, from a security bit down to hex bit. So when you're working on a flipper unit and you got that Allen wrench and you're trying to put it in there, and just you got too much room and not enough room, you can slip the Allen head into this, and you can ratchet right on, and it makes it much easier to adjust those flipper bats. Very easy to work with. Now, I showed you this picture because I'm going to show you this underneath. Somebody mentioned Harbor Freight. For those who want to be a little cheaper, for the same set, you can get it from Harbor Freight for $9. It's the same set that every bit in here is exactly in that $70 set. which I was absolutely shocked. I showed my boss. He goes, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "No." And we took the wrapper from this Harbor Freight thing and the wrapper from the new Phoenix. And believe it or not, it has the same address. Just two different companies. Imagine that. How would that work out? Isn't that amazing? For $9. You can get these from HAP, too. They want $29. But if you get a chance, get over to Harbor Freight, $9. Sometimes they might be up as high as $19, but you can get them for $9 on sale. So keep that in mind. That is a good tool, because with that quarter drive, you're going to be able to do just about anything you want to do. Now, here's some other little tricks that I have. Of course, I have my set of files. Everybody looks at this and goes, "What the hell are you going to do with that?" You're out on location. You have Flipper just goofing off. You're going to need to file down your coil stop. You're going to need a nice file or a smaller file. Nice set of small files. You can use these. Just be careful. Don't go filing everything down. And if you get a chance, buy some flex stones. I know the Dr. Scott over here loves election years, because usually the politicians will give you those nice little, what, emery board? Emery boards. Got to condition them. And they work just as well. But you can get, these are flex stones. You can get these from Pinball Resource. Call Steve Young. Most of them, they're a buck. Get a bunch. Put them in your case. Keep them. They're the smart thing to have. Now, I'm going to show you a trick that a dear friend of mine from Virginia, Paul McNamara, I'm giving some shout-outs tonight. Paul is a great guy, and he helped me with something the one day, and I said, "I got to get these." Anybody have an idea what these are? They look like lockpits, but they're not. No, they're not dental tools. Huh? Nope, not nothing to clean the inside of a gun. Your grandma used this. Crochet hooks, exactly. Why would I use a crochet hook? Well, a crochet hook, believe it or not, is perfect to grab a spring. When you're working on EM machines, it's so easy to grab the end of that spring, pull it back, and just slip it in there. You ever do that with the big hand? No. Nice little crochet hooks. They work great, and they come in great sizes. You can go in any little store. Yep, Martin just pulled up Harbor Freight and got that set for $9.99. So there you go. But they even come in much smaller size. So when you're working on those little springs, price, $9. Aggravation time, priceless. Because you're just going to do this, and you're just going to set the spring in, and you don't have to futz around with it. When he showed me this, I said to myself, I'm going out. Took the wife out to Joann Fabric, and I looked like a real idiot looking at crochet hooks, but I had a purpose in mind. This is a very useful tool. This is for taking care of your crimp pins, okay? They're expensive, usually about $19. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I see an isolation displacement problem, I always see Clay, or the Pinball Ninja, as he likes to be referred to, talks about TurfCon pins and repinning the thing. 10 times out of 10, that is your biggest problem, is a wiring or connection problem to a pin. So just keep that in mind. $19, I bought that when I first got into the hobby. It's priceless for me. I keep that in the case. It's always ready to go. We have also, behind here, I have a sort of wires. Always keep wires with you in case you run into a problem. Super glue, that's for little touch-ups on plastics if you needed. And these great little clips. You get these at Harbor Freight, too, for like a buck for like 12 of these things. They come in handy. They're nice tension springs. They do a nice job. But let's continue on. That's another thing. Get long Phillips, long, short. You always need tools. Now, let's see. I got some other little tools in here. This guy's nice. This is a pair of locking pliers, or not locking needle nose. You can just slide it up there and you hold what you need. So, you know, when you're doing work, you don't have that extra hand, you're going to want something like this. Or, what is really cool, and I use these an awful lot, they're down here in the bottom, they're spring-loaded. So I just put that on, and if I'm soldering a wire to something, it's much easier to work with that stuff. Okay, now, there's another little cool tools. This is like the tool shop here, I guess you could call it. I got my, again, pliers. I have long needle nose, short needle nose, bent needle nose, bull nose. I have, I mean, you're going to have these. You're going to need them. This is a standard mag light. Now, why would I have a standard mag light? You may have an idea. Huh?
Optos,
exactly. LED lights will not work on optos. Okay, so if you're putting a game in opto test, you want a standard light to test the optos. What's the other thing you can use to test optos? You're testing it one way with a standard light, test the other way with your cell phone. Exactly. Put it in camera mode, look at the optos. All of a sudden you're like, wow, that's magical. You look at the optos, there's nothing on. You put the cell phone back on, it's glowing purple. It's telling you they're working. If they're not glowing, guess what? You saved yourself some time on that. Much easier to fix. Steve Young has great tools when you get a chance. If you get a chance to talk to him, he'll tell you some stuff you need to get. But he can drive you a little crazy every once in a while, but that's just the nature of the business. Here's a light socket cleaning stick. Once again, $3, $4 from Pinball Resource. It looks ugly, but it's amazing how many times just a little cleaning of this cleans up very well. All right, we got other things in here. This is made by Snap-on. This is also another quarter drive, but it's shorter. Gives me a nice T-ratchet. Goes in either reverse. Again, it's from Snap-on, so it's a little more pricier, but it was given to me as a gift from one of my colleagues, so I keep it in there. Let's see. Now, the other thing I got, this guy has been a lifesaver. Again, Harbor Freight. I should, you know, plug them to death, or they should give me money. This is your just your normal corridor, you know, drive. However, it's flips both ways. Okay, you can also turn it to be screwdriver style. Ratchet down either way. You can buy the assorted long drives, which I tell everybody to get metric and regular, because it always comes in handy when you need them. Okay. All right, so that's one way, and then this also was another tool. This one my wife bought me. She knew to feed my hobby one time. This is also a small ratchet. One goes one way, one goes the opposite way. Very easy to work, not hard to manage. You're going to find when you work on tools, you're just going to find tools that really work for you, but you want to have the right instruments to do it. Now, working on a pinball machine, I can go in, look at it, get a diagnose, fix it, work on it. If I need parts, go get the parts. Next year we'll talk a little bit about soldering stations, desoldering board repair, because that's a little more in depth, okay? And if you want to do board repair, we'll talk about that later. But I'd also say that if you want to do that, go out and get some cheap VCRs, okay? Take the circuit board out of there and play with those, because you know what? They're already, you're throwing them out. Okay, just work on those, learn how to desolder, how to work your boards off of those. Okay, we have our normal screwdrivers, of course. Let's go into the bottom level. This is a little deeper. Remove a playfield glass, stuck on. Just a little suction cup, nice and easy to take it off. Your number one tool in my case is my digital multimeter. You know, when I leave this at home, I'm handicapped. I might as well walk in completely naked at the site because it's almost impossible sometimes to figure out what's wrong. This guy is your lifesaver. Always have backup batteries for this little tool. This will help you in the long run. Okay? Now, I have assorted fuses. Okay, all the standards, all the ones that I normally will need. But I don't feel like going through these like water. So what do I have? In my case, I have thermal circuit breakers that have been modified to fit the fuses, and I have them in every amperage. So if I walk into a place and I'm blowing a 2-amp fuse, bingo. All I did was, you can buy these for $3. You can get them at Newark Electronics. and there's a couple other places, $3-4, different amperages. You bend out the sides. You take a blown fuse. My wife thought I was nuts because I was walking around the house looking for blown fuses all over the house because I needed them to make this. She was like, what the hell are you making? A little hot glue, and then I soldered the tips to it. Works every time. It's much easier than blowing through a ton of fuses. And when it pops, you just turn the game off, reset the breaker, and you're good to go. That is one of the nicest tools that I've made. Again, I made this. So, you know, it's not like something you're going to go out and find in the products aisles, but you can definitely get these. Desolder, if you wanted to go that level, there's two of them. There's a desolder pump. I mean, if you want to go that long and working on boards, I don't work on boards out on locations just because too many variables. Too many variables. Of course, the standard soldering iron, standard brushes. Of course, I do have my standard Allens that I need those. And here's a tool that I thought everybody was nuts for having in their case. But I've actually been enjoying using this when you don't have that extra hand. Big Lots. Crazy as this sounds, Big Lots. Three of these for $5. They take a standard battery, triple A's, and you got them. My problem is I always get it right here, and I'm working on it with the homeowner, and then I put it in this mode, and then I walk around talking to them, and they think that I've lost my mind because I thought I shut it off, but no, I'm walking around with a blinking light on my top of my head looking like an idiot. What's that? Yeah, so they know me, yeah. You. Now, here is a tool that most people, let's see. Of course, I got my fuses, got my other things. We'll talk about the other thing. This is a nice tool. I've actually taken, I have another one of these tools. I have taken this to work because so many times I'm working on machines, arcade machines, and the nearest outlet is behind the machine, and it's, I got a bank of machines, okay? And I'm trying to run an extension cord around and doing this, but anybody know what this is? It's a reverse from a power supply. Okay, so it plugs into your normal power supply. There's a lot of power supplies have the extra side. Well, guess what? Williams did it for a while there. In the late 90s, their plug Jones were this way. You had to have it so you could plug in your soldering iron or whatnot. So I keep one of these in there because if I walk into a location, say the guy's got a creature from the Black Lagoon, and he doesn't have this, I'm running extension cords again. I don't want to do all that stuff. So I have my assorted flashlights. This is also a nice little tool. This is $19 for this little piece of plastic, and I thought to myself, I've lost my mind, but I have used this thing since I've bought it. Anybody have an idea what this is? It's a chip pin resetter, correct. So when I go in and the chip doesn't look right and it's sitting kind of funny, and you think, did the guy pull it out already? Turn the game off, pull the chip out, check the pins. Make sure that the pins are nice and straight. You can put in up to a 40 pin on one side, the standard width. The other side is the standard smaller size. You reset the pins, put it back in the socket. It's amazing. And also, remember the orientation of how the chip came out? Because sometimes you look at it and you're like, the notch is in the wrong spot, so somebody definitely took this chip out. I walked into a King Tut, which is a puck bowler from the late 70s, System 7 or System 6, I want to think. And sure enough, the guy says, it was working great, and now it doesn't work. Well, sure enough, I went in, found he had put the chip in backwards and bent one leg off. Reset, 30 seconds later, in, out. Thank you. Where's my money? Next. You can get these from Newark. You can get these from Gemco Electronics. A lot of these guys have these. That's good to have. All right. So, gel lube. Definitely want that. Lyman's pliers. I never have needed it, but it comes in handy when I get a coil stop or something that's just a little tough to beat out. And if I really have to beat it out, they all look like I've lost my mind. I have a little hammer. So that's ready to go. The other thing I like to keep in my box, and I'll show you this. This is called a... you can get these from Harbor Freight. It's 9 to 21 millimeters or 11/32 to 13/16. This is like a gaiter. Strip bolts. You're going to take that apart. You're going to move that out. It's good just to have. Throw away the bolt. They're not that expensive. Get yourself a new bolt, you know. But trying to get it out of the house with a stupid leg still on it and they don't want you to do it, it's a good thing to do. Be honest with your customers. Do not try to cheat them. They will talk. They know their customers. They know their people. Word of mouth is the number one way I get business. I have not advertised. Once in a while I do on Craigslist, very rarely. That's only when I'm selling the game. I'll put it up there. But over the last 2 years, I have sold about 20 to 30 games just simply by word of mouth. I have customers who call me up, go, I'm looking for this game, okay? The Sea Raider. I had somebody call me up, says, you ever get this Periscope game like Seawolf? I says, no, but I'll keep my eyes open. A week later, somebody calls me up, says, hey, you want this Sea Raider? Yeah, called the other person up, word of mouth. Next thing you know, he's paid me $600. I cleaned it up, out it went. I could have got more, but it was just a quick move. So I'm going to do that and clean that up. In fact, that Sea Raider, I did a lot more work, but it was a relative. That's another story. So we talked about fuses. If you have to, and you're brave enough, I always keep tip 102s and tip 36Cs in here, just in case I'm way out and I don't feel like coming back to fix this guy's board. Okay, those are the simplest ways. I also have 455 flash bulbs, which are also a very nice little feature to put on any old EM or even new EM or solid-state games. It's just when it turns on, it continuously flashes. You put those under a bumper cap on a Matahari, people think, wow, that's really cool. As soon as the game, you light the bumper pops, they start flashing. And, oh, that's a new little feature. This was around for way longer than you want to know. The other little thing I have here are a couple quarters. Coin door is locked. Lady wants to sell the game. Guess what? I want to see if it works. It doesn't work. I put two quarters in. I'm buying the game. 50 cents is a what? It's a good insurance policy for 50 cents just to see if it kicks over. If it kicks over, great. My assorted diodes, of course, and washers. The other little thing I got in here is an entire kit of every known pinball part, post, Allen, screws. I mean, everything you probably would need walking in. You can buy these kits from Pinball Life for $16.95. The case I bought at Harbor Freight for $2.99. Put it together, and it's been in a nice little arsenal. Walk in, broken post, fix it, in, out, done. The other thing I always keep is another little arsenal. Of course, my coil stops. In fact, I'm all out of coil stops because I just fixed them just earlier. But my assorted sleeves, too. For pop bumpers, for flipper sleeves. Bridges. Bridges are very common to blow. Always keep at least a couple bridges in there. It's very safe. Micro switches. Another little thing that always goes finicky. Bushings. There's a number of things. Rubber stops if you want to go that far on machines. So that is what is in the arsenal toolbox. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I have. I have some other picks. Dr. Scott, is there anything that you have in your tool case that I'm maybe missing? Huh? Duct tape. Gorilla tape, maybe. But WD-40? All right, I've seen too many flame stories to tell you about. 3-in-1 oil, yeah, okay. Oh, you're talking about chemicals. You're talking about... Let's talk about... Before we get into chemicals, let's talk about shortcut and saving time. I showed this last year. I got a lot of emails about it, so I'm going to show it again real quick just to touch base with it. This is a sonic cleaner, and that's sonic powder next to it. This has saved many of time for me. I set this up before I shop a game. If I have a part that's gummy, jammed, a ball kicker, throw it in the sonic cleaner within 30 seconds, 40, maybe 400 seconds, it's clean. It's working just well. World Cup Soccer, 94, okay? The assist kicker, classic problem. So I walked in, wouldn't kick the ball high enough. It just kind of kicked and drizzled out and down between the flippers. Took the unit apart, put it in the sonic cleaner, put it back together. The person thought I needed a new coil. They thought I needed a new sleeve. They thought I needed... No, just clean it because somebody somewhere had put some kind of white lithium glue or something on it. This works great for EMs. Last year at our seminar, we took the EM wheels off and put it back in the right in the solution. You can get this for $49, $59 at Harbor Freight. They have a smaller one. Works just as good, $29. The powder, it's $5. I mean, you can't go this wrong. A lot of times when I'm looking at repairing a game, especially EMs and solid states, I want to have, what do you think I want to have at the location first? What is the first thing I want to have? Any technician would love to have, if they walked into a game that's broken, what would you love to have? A manual, a schematic, right? But you can't have it all the time. Well, you know, thanks to the internet database, you can. I'm going to show you a little tool. I walk in now with a tablet, okay? In my tablet, I have Wi-Fi connections. I connect right there. I can pull the schematic up. I can look at it. I can email friends. I can talk to people. I can do a lot of things. This is a great little tool to have out on location. Does it make you look professional? Sure, because you're sitting there diagnosing their game, and you have, I can have all these manuals. No, I have it all in here. And in fact, I have all of Clay's manuals in here. Okay, you can have all of PinWiki manuals in here. All you got to do is you can download them, print them to PDF, and they're always yours. Okay, and you can put them on a tablet, and then you, if you're in a location where you don't have Wi-Fi connection, guess what? You're still connected. You still have your stuff. Okay, so that is a good little tool to have. But shortcut to saving time, this is a nice guide to do for even clear post, little post on the playfield. I'm shopping out a post. I throw all the posts right in. Remember Nick, that pitcher I showed you earlier? He'll sit there and he'll go, okay, we're going to shop this game out. I said, yep, let's do this. And I'll take everything off the game. I'll take all the parts off. I'll take all the things and I'll throw them all in there. And he'll be looking at me like, how do you know where it all goes back? Have you lost your mind? No, I haven't lost my mind. Guess what? The posts are exactly the right size. You have the plastics that are going to fit on top of them. Okay? They're going to tell you where the post goes through and where the post doesn't go through. You can look through them and you can see where your posts are. Clean them, re-rubber the game. If you're going to put a game out in a location, anybody here thinking of operating games? No, I'm the only idiot here. I must be. Oh, I got one person that might think about operating a game. Okay, I'll tell you a little thing. Think about this. Operating games. You have a favorite game of yours that you haven't played in 6 months? Okay. Put it on location. Put it in the local bar, little pizzeria. Guess what? You're going to give money coming back to you from that machine. You're going to gain new people who want to be in the pinball community. Keeping it in our basements, unfortunately, just keeps it to ourselves. Over the past 3 years, I've gained 3 or 4 new pinball fans who, like Nick, bought his first machine. And that's interesting. Nick, he bought his first new machine, a Stern Iron Man, brand new, right out of the box, broken. He bought it for himself as a Christmas gift. He's sitting there on Christmas Day, he opens it up, he puts it all together, and the game does not work. Well, it works, but the flipper on the one side just goes, it was broken from the factory. So now all of a sudden he's like, whoo. He contacted someone that found one of my machines in location. Word of mouth. I was out there. I fixed it for him for free. I just said, listen, this is what's wrong. This. Guess what? It was the simplest fix that I could do, but I gained a friend and a new word of mouth, a new client. And guess what? When he calls me and says, I got a problem with this. The Ironmonger has this problem where it's not sensing. Well, Nick, well, you can pull it apart, but it's going to cost you a little bit. Okay, Dad, whatever. Yeah, I trust you. I go out. Guess what? That 3 seconds of just taking care of somebody goes a long way to continuing fixing machines. All right, so we have the shortcut, which drives Nick's nuts and most other people. Let's show chemicals. Okay, chemicals. Here are some chemicals that I love to have. Some of you are going to be mad at me because you can't get some of these chemicals in your area, but that's okay. And there's also one thing up there that's not a chemical. So we have 91 isopropyl alcohol, which you can get at Walmart. 98 cents. For 98 cents, you can buy it. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get to that right now with the chemicals. My solution, I use the powder, the sonic powder. I use isopropyl and I use mean green. Okay, and I will use some hot water. What's that going to do? Well, first of all, the mean green is going to cut the grease. It's going to clean off the nicotine. It's going to clean off the junk. The isopropyl will help dry the part pretty quickly. So if I have like a wheel from an EM, that's a fiber wheel, I'm not going to be like soaking it too much. I use hot water, of course, that will just speed up the drying process because it will just shed faster. All right, so that's the two I will use together. Now, I know a lot of people can't get mean green in areas of the United States, but if you can get it online, try it. That bottle cost me all of $3. Okay, Dollar General, Dollar Store, Dollar. I mean, they all have this mean green. This stuff eats nicotine. I spray it on the side of a cabinet. I just watch the brown just go right down. And I've had my sister-in-law, who's a fanatic smoker, I had her come over one day. I said, come here, I want to show you something. What do you got? You got a new game? Yeah, I got a new game. See this nice new game? It's all nice white. Yeah. Ooh, what's that brown stuff? I said, that's nicotine. Unfortunately, she doesn't want to come over anymore, but she still smokes. It's your choice. It's your choice. Nick smokes. I tell him, what are you smoking for? You're smoking around your kids? You're not going to spend as much time with your kids if you want to. Okay, so we have mean green. Rust Buster. Now, you can get this stuff. This is quite interesting stuff. If you can find it. It's the little guy right there with the red. It's got a long spout. You walk into a mechanic, Granger carries this. There's a bunch of other companies that carry this. But Rust Buster is really nice. So if you have a part that's just rusted on, you picked up that pinball machine from the little old lady. It's been sitting in the basement. I'll get to you in a second. Sitting in the basement, and you bought it, and that thing is just rusted. You know, you didn't open it up because she just wanted it gone for $50, and you're like, okay, a $50 pinball machine that's got a good backlash and the playfield ain't worn, it's going out the door, okay? Because that's money in the bank. Just even parting it out, it's in the bank. You had a question?
The Zoom stuff, a lot of times you can find it at like appliance repair.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can get the Zoom Spout and you can get the Rust Buster. A lot of times it's made by the same company. Okay, the Rust Buster is made by the same company as the Zoom Spout, which we were just going to talk about. Now, both those bottles have in them little tubes that will go way out, and you can get right where you want to. I put stuff on Rust Bust within about a minute. I have it loose enough that I can clean it right off. All right. Now, the Super Erase that's sitting there. All right, Zoom Spout, that's of course, is an oil. It's very nice, very lightweight machine oil. It is very nice to use. Do not oil stuff too heavy. The littlest as possible. If it's nylon, you're not going to want to put any kind of white lithium grease or anything else on that. You don't need that heavy gels, okay? You don't need that heavy stuff. Metal on metal, maybe, but sparingly, because if you don't, it's going to seize up. And I'm going to say this about EM machines all the time. I have people who buy machines from me, EMs, and first thing I tell them is, you must play the game once a month. They look at them, of course I'm going to play it once a month. That's fine. 6 months later, Dave, the machine don't work. When was the last time you played it? Oh, I was playing it every month until, well, you know, it's summertime. I haven't played it in 2 months, and it's sitting down there. I said, well, play it. I'll come over. We'll go over. We adjust. We clean. Get it back up and running. It's like a Swiss watch. If you stop a Swiss watch, you think it's going to just start up when it needs to be? It might if it's perfectly, you know, tuned all the time. But you got to keep them tuned and working. Super Erase. Okay, that is the knockoff of the 3M Magic Erase. Now, if you can find Super Erase or you find it online, go ahead and buy it because it's $1 a box for two squares. Magic Erase is $5, $3, $4, $5, depending on where you go, Walmart and whatnot. Made by the same company. Actually, it's the same address as Magic Erase, so it's not like you're buying the, you know, the equivalent. No, it's the same product, just there's the normal marketing. Yeah? Yep, plastic tub of at Sam's Club, under 10 bucks for 10 or 12. That's not bad. That's a dollar. That's a dollar. Those are 50 cents a piece. Yes, you had a question?
No, just a suggestion. When you're talking about chemicals and using them, particularly maybe in somebody's house,
yep.
You're going to need the MSDS sheets with you.
Of course, yes. Of course you're going to need the MSDS sheets. And if you know your stuff pretty well, you know your chemicals already ahead of time. And I always talk to the people ahead of time before I do most of their major stuff. If it's an EM game, I do offer a great service to some of my customers. They call me up and say, hey, Dave, I got this EM game. Okay, where'd you get it? Well, I've had it. It was my grandmother's. She's had it for 20 years. It's been sitting in the basement. How much do you want to restore on it? I just want to get it working. Where is it? It's in her basement. Where's it going? My house. Drop it off at my house. I'll do what I call a shop repair. That means you bring the machine to me. I will repair it. I will clean it. I'll get it up and running at a flat rate where you're not paying the hourly rate. You come back, you pick it up, and you take it home. And I'll give you a class, short class, on how to maintain and keep your machine running. I have right now 28 machines waiting for that shop rate. So I have business just waiting for me to get home to do this. Do I need that other part-time job? No, but it's okay. It keeps my skills level sharp so that I can do other things. Because at some point, stuff dries up. You know, you got to continue to keep your wheels in motion. Super Erase, that's a nice thing to use on playfields. Do you guys use it on anything else besides playfields? Anybody else? Cabinets with a little mean green? I find it works really good on stainless steel side rails that are like rusting up a little. Take that with a little isopropyl alcohol, just rub them down, get that nice film, I clean them, wipe them down again, clean them again. Makes it a lot easier to shine them up. They'll look really good, including lockdown bars.
It is an abrasive though.
It is abrasive. Yeah. Test it, definitely. Don't overdo it. Don't put it on the back of a back glass. No, right? No. I see Phoebe just grinning over there. No, because you're going to be calling her services to restore those back glasses. I always test what you're working on in small areas. Move forward slowly. Don't go hog wild unless you know the machine. If you know the machine, it's your machine. You've been working on it. It's got diamond plate. It's got, you know, stealth coat. You know, there's many different terms that they use. But I can... What's that? Yeah, spot under the apron, sure. Where somebody's written the name in the dirt that's usually under there anyway. All right, so now when I walk into a machine, the first thing I will do before I power it up is I will test the coils. Now, you can test the coils with your digital multimeter, but what is the easiest way without pulling out the digital multimeter to test the coil? Huh? Now, I'm not turning the machine on. I'm just going to manually test it. I put the play field up. I pull in all the coils. I make sure that they're operating. If I pull in that coil and it ain't moving, guess what? I already know there's a problem. I'm also checking the fuse bank. Because if the coil's locked on, it's going to blow a fuse. Okay? It just goes with the plan. The next person to ask what is wrong with the machine is who? The operator? The owner? No, ask the machine. Turn the machine on. If it's a digital multimeter, a digital DMD, it's going to give you, this is my problem. It's going to be able to go through its test modes. It's going to tell you there's something wrong with it. If there's something wrong with a early solid state, it's going to tell you that. Batteries dead? It's a possibility. You know, gooey batteries. You know, I always love that call. People call you up and say, yeah, I got a machine. It doesn't want to boot up properly. What's it got? A code. It says, how long you had it? 5 years. When's the last time you changed the batteries? Batteries? What batteries? It don't need no stinking batteries. No, yeah, it does need batteries. It needs a memory capacitor. It needs something to keep the memory alive. Walk in, clean up the batteries. I always put a remote battery pack on. They're a few pennies. You can get the Clay uses the little 2N995 button style battery pack now. He just wires those in. Works out real nice. The hobby of pinball is the greatest source and wealth of information to help you fix your machine. RGP, PinSide, Pinball Ninja. Now, some people had some problems. He took down his site guides and so forth. But if you're subscribed to Pinball Ninja, he has these great videos that tell you common problems, and he walks through them. And he doesn't put something up where it's the same thing over and over. It's always something unique, and he has a wealth of videos now that you can sit there. And guess what? I have that you can get them on your tablet. You're in location, got that problem, it's stumping you, look it up on the site guide. Look it up there. There are other people that have great tutorials. This company I have dealt with, it's called Arcade Repair Tips. They have 3 volumes. They're all on DVD. They cost me all of $25 for the 3 volumes. Okay. First one up. This is kind of simple, but if you're going to get started, start out with the, you know, educational stuff. Adjusting dip switches settings on the board. Adjusting the coverage rings. Arcade game and electricity costs. Replacing arcade monitors. That's a dangerous thing. That's a lot of voltage going through there. You've got to be very careful if you're playing with video games, okay? I've seen a person throw himself, well, I shouldn't say throw himself. I saw the machine throw him 4 feet back into a wall, into a drywall, and put a big dent in the drywall. He was kind of smoking, but he was still okay. We got him to the hospital. He was no problem with him, okay? Arcade auction experience, replacing power cords, checking for classic power supplies. Classic power supplies. That is probably one of the biggest problems with the early solid-state games. It's not getting the proper voltage. It's not getting the proper voltage, the game ain't going to work. Okay? These videos were very easy to get. Clay has some great videos, too. The top, this old pinball repair. If you're working on DMDs, you're working on... You're going to go to class, get the videos. And guess what? You can do it on your own time. I know most of you came here to see, you know, hear about the lectures and so forth. I came, I got the videos over the years, I sat down, and I would come every year when I saw Clay was talking. In fact, I invited Clay to come tonight, and he said I would, but I am, of course, he is opening a new pinball museum in Michigan, and he's moving his house, he's moving his buildings, he's doing a lot of great things for the community. He is trying to continue to open the community to newer people. How many people here have been collecting for more than 5 years? How many people have been here collecting more than 2 years? Okay, so there's a handful, okay? But you're going to find that how many people have been collecting more than 20 years? Well, how many? When was the first time you got your pinball machine? 20 years ago? 1976. Very good. Okay. You work on your own machine? You're trying to now. Understood. It's a good place to start. I came to Expo. I sat here in 2005. I went to Clay's, first Clay's video. I was blown away. I went up and bought his video. I saw him in Toronto 6 months later. He had a new video. I said, well, can I buy this one? I don't have it ready yet. And that one still, and I don't think he's ever going to finish that one, that's the Badly Kiss series. And he had done some amazing stuff. But with the Pinball Ninja, you get all those videos and everything that he's coming across all the time. Okay? It's a good resource. Use the resource of the community. And you know what? I have never seen anybody here go on RGP and say, I have this problem, and nobody helped them? You always have somebody trying to help you. I mean, Lloyd Oilson is a key person who's always tried to help a lot of people, and that has led to him to what? Working for Jersey Jack doing their repairs. Okay, so you know, most people have brought this into a hobby. It can go into a full-time business, which I'm going to go into operating for a minute. I touched on it a few minutes ago. I said about operating pinball machines. Operating pinball machines is very easy to do. Okay, you put it into a location. You want to make sure it's working 100%. You're going to gain notoriety. You're going to gain people. You're going to gain respect. You're going to gain new players. Your hobby is going to grow. 2009, I put on a pinball show in Niagara Falls. I asked Phoebe to help me. She brought seven pinball machines. About seven more? You don't remember? Yeah, we'll give you 10. We'll say, or she brought 10. But to a pinball show, that's not a lot. I brought 40. And I had a couple other people bring 10 to 15 pinball machines themselves as well. But in the long run, the local people that were there that were bringing pinball machines was maybe four guys. Now we have the Buffalo Pinball League, started by Nick Lane up here.
Is there wings?
Yes.
Buffalo wings?
Of course. I know that's the only reason you want to come. But anyway, we now have 30 guys that show up for the league. 20 that play. There's 10 guys alternates, okay? They all have 10 to 15 machines themselves, okay? That's huge. I would kill in 2009 to have 10 guys with 10 machines that would want to start a show. Where were they? They came to the show. They started collecting. They bought one machine. Unfortunately, pinball collecting is like just like eating potato chips. You just can't have one. You got to have the next flavor, okay? But operating pinball machines, you want to have a device that is out in location, that is perfectly working, and is reliable. So what does that mean? You want to have good parts. You want to make sure it's completely shopped and stripped down and clean. And you want to make a good presence. Everybody plays your machine. They're going to be your biggest critics. Your biggest fans, but your biggest critics. Hey, that flipper is lagging. Just to touch a point, in January of this year, I went to Vegas. I went to the Pinball Hall of Fame, of course, but I also walked through all the casinos. And you know what I was amazed by the casinos is that they're operating machines that are 10, 15 years old, and they have people playing them. Why? Maintenance. They take care of them. They strip them down. They replace parts. They make it look as brand new as they can, and they keep it rolling. Why? Because it's a moneymaker.
Some of those are 10 machines.
Right, but I'm in the Vegas. Yeah, I'm talking the slot machines. I'm talking about the other machines. I walk in and I see a slot machine from 1995, and it's got people playing it all the time. It's like, well, that's not the newest and greatest, but it's still churning money. Okay, the arcade I work at, we have Daytonas. How long ago did Daytonas come out? I think 92. We have a bank of six. Those things get played all the time. We continuously clean them. We continuously repair them. We continuously work on them. We make sure that they're ready to go all the time. And guess what? They're churning in money all the time. Okay? So you want to have parts that are reliable. Now, this brings me to a new part as an operator that I'm just trying. And I'm going to call on Joe. Joe, we're talking about super bands. Okay? Super bands are new flipper rubbers that I've actually started putting on my machines in locations. And, you know, I change the rubbers out on the flipper rubbers a lot, okay, because I want to make sure that the playing experience is good. Guess what? Super bands, I don't have to replace them as often. Do they cost as much? No. But I want something that's going to last. So I'm going to have Joe talk about super bands for a few seconds here. And Joe?
Thank you, Dave. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Scaletta. I am the creator of a new urethane flipper product called Super Bands. Unlike the traditional gum rubber that's been on pinball machines since what, 1947, Humpty Dumpty, give or take.
Or even before that.
These are made out of a cast polyurethane product. Okay, completely different process than the gum rubbers are made from, and a lot more durable. What I was going for here, first of all, urethanes is my business. I've been doing this my whole career. I own three different urethane molding companies. We're some of the biggest molders in the United States, do all kind of heavy industry stuff. Okay, and pinball's been a hobby of mine, and I never really crossed the two. So last year sometime, I was getting frustrated with, even in home collections, replacing flipper rubbers, which seemed like excessive amount. I'd get a new Stern game, and after 3 or 4 months, the tip of the flipper would be wearing. So I charged my chemist and some other folks that I work with to come up with a product that had the play characteristics of a soft red rubber, a 45 Shore A durometer rubber that you get the real good bounce with, but also gave you good long life. And with polyurethanes, it's a little tricky to get a high rebound material that lasts long. Isn't a very easy thing to do. Most polyurethanes absorb energy. I could make a flipper band that would literally last forever, but you guys wouldn't like the way it played. It would hit the bat and be very, very dead feeling to you. Because most urethanes absorb the energy. Okay, so these guys, we came up with something. We tested, we tweaked, we threw it away, we came out with something new. Being passionate about pinball, I didn't want to come out with a product that was no good, that didn't play good, that didn't look good, that didn't last good. Finally, we hit on something that I thought was good. After a few iterations of it, I felt confident enough to put some out in public to test. We dialed in a few more things. I got feedback from some of the world-class players, guys like Bowen Cairns, current world pinball champion. So got the competitive players. The guys at Papa have used these parts this year on the World Pinball Championships. And tournament players can be a little fussy about how games play. This week they run all the tournament games out front there, the flip-out tournament, the main tournament. Okay, these are on every single game out there. So anyway, these are to market now. The advantages are longer life, lots of different colors. There's 9 different colors. And the play of that of a soft red rubber. Really nice bounce. They wipe clean. I've had some that have had 5,000 plays on that I took the glass off, wet my finger, wiped it off, and it's brand new again. You can use Novus on them if you would like. You can use CP100. And anything you can use on your playfield to clean it is safe on these. Because playfield clear coat is a type of polyurethane, actually. Okay, so Phoebe here has been kind enough to put these on all her games. She and Lair have been out my house playing some of my collections. I'm a collector, avid collector, and it's where she first saw them, and so she's been one of my testers. They've been in service at the Pinball Hall of Fame for 4 or 5 months now. Tim Arnold's loving them. I don't think he's actually replaced a set yet there. So he's got them on loads of games. He's got some signage hung up there now. So that's a little bit about that. Dave asked me just today to join up and step in and kind of do an impromptu thing here, so I don't have any huge PowerPoint or anything like that, but I wanted to come and at least introduce the product. They are for sale through Marco Specialties. We're selling them here at the show in the Marco Specialties booth. We will also be at the Pinball Life open house tomorrow out at Terry's place, and they're for sale out there. And then, of course, they're for sale online through Marco and Pinball Life are the exclusive two distributors of the product. So that's a general overview of it. Does anyone have any questions specifically for me about these products? Because I'd love to. UV, no issue whatsoever. They're very UV resistant, actually. Marco and Pinball Life are currently selling them for $1.95 a band. So somewhere around 2x traditional rubber, what they're at now. So I'm not selling any direct, so just through those guys.
All right, so we're going to give some of these away?
All of these here, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to have some trivia for everybody. Okay, the Airborne Avengers, some people are out of the running, but anybody there tell me who designed that game? All right. Who did the software on Airborne Avengers? Correct, Eugene Jarvis. There's a theme going on here, so we're going to talk about that. Firepower. Who were the two guys that worked on Firepower? No. Steve Ritchie and Eugene Jarvis. We'll give him what? We'll throw out. Okay. Then we have Here Comes the Bride. Now, why do you think I put Bride of Pinbot up at Expo this year? Huh? Well, Python Angel is one thing, but there's something tomorrow that's going to be here. We're going to be here for Bride of Pinball 2. Somebody over here say that? No, not Pat Lawler. But tell you what, we'll give some of these out over here. Let's give some other questions. What was the first pinball machine given away as a prize at Pinball Expo? What was the title? Goodness. Huh? No. I think even Mr. Burke might not know this one. Come on, Rob. I got a nice set of... No. Yes. Pinbot is correct. And who won it? Steve Engel of Mayfair Amusements. It's funny because I asked Steve the one time I saw Steve and I said to him, I said, hey, you're the one that won the pinball. He goes, yeah, thanks for reminding me that. I'm now known only as a bit of trivia in my life is winning a pinbot brand new. So, what is Phoebe's nickname? Ah, who said it? That's correct. It is Butterfly Girl. She is a bad cat. Let's see. What else can we talk about? Who did the voice for Xenon? What? Yes, give him one too. Okay, so, and I got a few more. Who here is an operator? I got an operator over here. Guess what? I'm going to give you a pair for you to try. Put them in one of your machines in location. Tell Superbands what you think of them. You're going to like them. I like them. What's that? Could you find a bigger bag, Joe, for these? That's what Marco gave you. Okay. All right. You come to my seminars before, so and you're newbie. Who else here is brand new to the hobby? Raise your hand. Hey, Joe, can I have a couple right here for the newbies? Brand new to the hobby. And one in the back. The young lady in the red sweatshirt. She gets one. And the young gentleman over here in the red sweatshirt also. Okay. Joe, right over here in the red. Not her. She's been in the hobby forever.
Good question, Phoebe. There are a few. That almost sounded planted, but actually it wasn't.
Repeat the question for those.
She asked me when I'm going to do other elastomeric non-rubber products for pinball. My idea was to unveil a lot of things all at one time, and then there was a sort of competitive situation that made me take these to market. These were ready, but the other things I was developing for the pinball machines weren't quite ready yet. So I've taken these to market. Some of the other things that are coming are all the different posts that go in the game. And at the Marco booth, I have some of those. I don't have a whole lot of those, but I do have some of those. Advantages are 9 different colors and very high rebound, so good bounce off of things, and different sizes and shapes of posts. Yes, Phoebe?
I have many posts on the 1000, the low, the mid, the high, the mid, the high, the
here.
Okay, so Phoebe's games in the free play area. She's been wonderful, and she likes the stuff, so she's been putting it on her games, and I'm appreciative of that. So if you see Phoebe's games, which, you know, you can't miss. Her games are always the best at these. They do have these products on them. In the Marco Specialties booth, there's 8 games, 4 Star Trek, 4 Metallica. All of them have these flipper bands on them, and most of them you'll notice little colored posts through the games. That's all of these. Also have some prototype slingshots that are going to come out a little different shape. Instead of just being a round, they have a rounded back to fit in the standard star posts, but they have a flat front on them. It's helping you with ball traps. And Phoebe has them on her Metallica, and that is literally the first game in public with these parts on it.
So. What does Phoebe not have that you're coming out with that's already out? I mean, we all want
Once
this.
Phoebe has it, I know it's going to be kind of in the public's eye, so I got to be a little careful. So there's some other things. Basically, you're going to have other choices with Elastomeric products moving forward with pinball machines. They're going to give you lower maintenance. They're going to clean up easier. They're going to last longer. They're going to provide great bounce. And they're going to be offered in, you know, 9 or more colors. There's 9 colors now. Little feet we call pin butts that your game can sit on. If you have a game on a hardwood floor, they're basically casters. Polyurethane protects your floor, and it keeps the game from sliding. Doing slap saves and what, the game's not, you're not doing those slide saves. It's a little more planted on a hard floor. Most people don't use them on carpet. You could, but I'm sorry? Does not leave black marks because there's, you know, obviously forever there's been rubber casters out there, black rubber. They do leave skid marks on a wooden floor or a tile floor or something like that. So the polyurethane doesn't. And like these on your game, they don't break down. They don't leave residue in your games and whatnot. So yeah, more is coming. Maybe by next year there's a whole bunch of stuff and I can do a planned, more formal talk with you all and some other folks maybe. But I'm here all weekend. If you guys think of questions or ideas about any of this stuff, I'm going to be mostly around the Marco booth, be at Pinball Life tomorrow, and or out in the tournament area. So happy to talk to you. My name again is Joe. So, yes?
3-inch.
Yeah, that's your standard flipper rubber size there. They are also available in the mini flippers. Okay. No, these ones will work on lightning flippers as well. There's not enough difference in those. But on the mini flippers, like on AC/DC's mini playfield or Thing Flips on Adam's Family. Varcon. She already has them on Varcon. Also have the 3/8-inch high Gottlieb ones for the older Gottliebs with the grooved bat.
I think she's got those on at home on Wayne Nines' game. Larry, do you know about all these? Yeah, you do?
Okay. And the 3/8-inch ones are on the Alien Star machine out in the flip-out tournament, if anyone's curious to look at those. So,
any other questions for Super Bands? Oh, we still got them here. No?
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll get you something later. You've been patiently sitting through the whole... I'm going to talk on operations of pinball machines real quick. A couple more points I'd like to point out to people. And collectors, you can do this too. LED lights. Not going too crazy on machines, but putting LED lights in a pinball machine out on location is a smart idea, especially if you're not going to clean it as often or get maintenance. The worst problem, as I always hear, is after 6 months of the standard conduction light bulb is that some of the bulbs went out and somebody says, this machine is dark. And guess what? I got to strip it all apart again. There are ramps that are on machines that you just don't take off once every couple years to clean the machine if you wanted to do it. Put an LED lamp or a flasher under there. It's a smart idea. Saves you time. It's a few cents more, but it's less hassle down the road. They come in great varieties of color. Flashers. Let's talk about flashers for a second. And I had an operator who put a friend of mine, he put a machine out, and he put flashers, LED flashers in. They're okay, but you're going to cause problems with the public because it's flashing too brightly. People don't like something that bright. Standard 89 bulbs are still cheap enough. They're cheaper than the LED bulbs. Put them in, okay? If you're going to save yourself 906s or 89s, put those in. You can still buy them from Pinball Life. $2 for a box or $3 for a box. They don't go out that often. And you're not going to cause people to have epileptic seizures in the restaurants where you're going to be at. The other trick that I do as an operator, and I'm going to tell you this, is it's very good. And I wish Stern would do a little bit more of this. There's two parts. First of all, if you're going to put a pinball machine on a location, put a dollar bill mechanism in it. Okay? I have machines out there. 50% of the gross off that machine comes off that dollar bill. Okay? The other 50 comes off the coins. I sell the coins back to the restaurant, and I keep the dollars for myself. I can even sell back the dollars as well and make a lot more money as an operator, okay? Second point, as an operator, which drives me absolutely wild, is what is the number one problem with a pinball machine in location, in a bar, anywhere? What is the number one problem that an operator faces? It's turned off. How many times have you gone into a restaurant or someplace, you see a pinball machine, it's dark, it's sitting in the corner. Are you going to play it? Are you going to just think, oh, that's a piece of, you know, you're going to call the operator up trying to buy the machine off of him because they didn't turn it on. And he's going to say, there's nothing wrong with that machine, it works fine. And so, and usually somebody new, a bar mistress or whatever that is behind the bartender or anybody, just didn't turn it on that day. What I have done, and it's very simple, and I'll go into a little more detail next year about this, but I go from the power supply, where the on-off switch is inside the machine. I run out a cord, okay? I disconnect the original cord that is going to the machine. I take a cheap cord from a computer end, okay? Kind of like that little piece I had here. I solder that in. I cut off the edge, so I have just a three-prong coming out. I go out, and I buy a $7 timer. I put that in one end, and I put a plug on the other end. So now, for $7, every day at 11 o'clock, you can set the clock on it. The bar doesn't open at noon. The machine turns on. 2 o'clock at night, when the bar has already been closed for an hour, turns off. I'm saving power. I'm saving wear and tear on my machines. And it's always collecting. I don't have to have anybody turn it on. I don't have to rely on somebody else to kill my money. Why hasn't Stern or Jersey Jack or any of these manufacturers ever thought about putting a timer in a machine? I do not know. But for the most part, putting a $7 timer in the bottom of a machine that turns on and turns off, and it's always collecting money. Now, if there's a problem with the machine, you can still shut the switch off, and it shuts the power off through the entire game. If it doesn't, and what I do is I have a little sticky note, and I have it already written. This machine has a timer. Turn off if on fire. So the if it's nobody, they walk in, they pick a, oh, look at that. Oh, it's just, and they stick the sticker right back under it. If they don't, I put it on there. Another thing I do as an operator is I put a nice decal on the side that says, insert dollar down here, because the dollar bill mix, it's on the bottom of the coin door, it flashes two green lights, and most people don't see it. They look at it and they go, well, what is that all about? You know, I think I have the graphic that I use right here. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, it's PowerPoint. Now, just before I rant and rave and finish for the night, is there any questions that anybody has about the repair, any questions about the tools you got to see tonight, any other questions that you may have?
I have all the tools. How come I can't fix my machines?
You have all the tools and you can't fix the machines. Are you patient enough? Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll talk about that in more detail at another time. And you know what? Maybe I'll get your number and we'll walk through some of your machines with you so you can understand how to work some of those tools.
Do you use that new ball remover, the tool that came out?
The screwdriver, the child screwdriver that was bent and put a... Yeah, no, I haven't used that. I still have the... that's not even in here. It must be in the game somewhere. The little rubber thing from Steve Young, the ball remover, I use that. But you can use that. I've seen those. I wanted to get one. It's kind of a faddish thing. I'm waiting for it to cool off. You know, soon as everybody goes out, oh, $7.95. Well, give it about 2 years. It'll be down to $3.95. And I'm like, okay, I can wait long enough. Shooter tip? Okay, yeah. Yeah, you can use a shooter tip. Take that out. Any other questions? Yes.
Thermistor in a pinball machine, how important is that for driving? Does that need to be on there, or is it... resistor that controls the current as it comes into the machine, so you don't...
Yes.
How important is that? Can it blow out? If it's not there, it's not wired in.
You're talking about the high voltage spike across the bottom, that little red diode. In case it gets struck by lightning, it pops that, right? Yes, they are important. You got to understand something. They design these games to take abuse, but and they also protect the machines, but they are also. I got Rob Burke calling me. Rob, I'm in a seminar. Anyway, if there's a part blown on a well, let's just go back real quick. Solid state. A diode. Does anybody know what a diode is? In layman's term, go ahead. One gate. What else is a one-way gate flow? What else is a one-way gate? Mm-hmm. More expensive. Huh? Well, bridge. Or I always have been told by most operators, it's the cheap man's fuse. Okay? If it gets too much amperage, it's going to pop. And if the diode is blown and it's sitting there, you'll know it's blown. It'll be sitting out with two little things and they'll be half gone. If it's a slow spike, a little spike, it could still be there and it looks just like perfect. But what's another way to test it? You can test it with the Dalt multimeter. Just pull it. If it's blown and it's a little bit, it's just going to pop right apart in your hands. And that is one of the key points you want to keep your eyes on. If you're taking a board, any kind of circuit board, every component on that board was designed to protect and work properly. Some things were maybe graded a little lower, but in the time frame of that being designed, that's all they had. The reason I say that is Bally, early Bally games. They have the gate transistor, the 3 on the driver board. You replace them with tip 102s. Okay, back then the tip 102s were very expensive, so they used tip 122s. Okay, it's a little lower rated, but the tip 102, if you replace it, works just as better, if not better, than the original tip 122s. Okay, but they're designed to take abuse. Okay, and you want to keep things in spec. If something's out of spec, that's my first suggestion to look at. I take a board home. I go through all the resistors. I go through all the capacitors. I do all the tests on the board first so I know it's working 100%. If I know that's working 100%, that is not my culprit, not my problem. I move on to the next. So in your regard of this device, and I'm trying to remember seeing it, you might be calling it something different that I'm not used to. I would test that, and if it's in spec, it's good. If it isn't, replace. I mean, it's a what? $1.50 part on your $7,000 pinball machine. I think it's worth the $1.50 just to replace it to be the safeness of mind to know that it's working correctly. Same thing with fuses. Never overfuse anything. Overfuse things lead to calamity. Never use WD-40 in the bottom of a machine, as somebody asked just a few minutes ago. It's a high spark contract. Boom, you're going to have a flame. You want to put it under your kings and queens and blow it up like it was like a royal house of cards. Go ahead, but you know you're taking your own risk in your hands there. Any other questions for the arcade pinball repairs? Go ahead.
Is there any way other than drilling out a lock?
Any other way to open a lock without drilling it out? You can pick it. You can, and in fact, I think Dr. Scott, aren't you pretty good with picks? Yeah. Yeah, I think, and you also learned how to do that online, a YouTube video?
AmericanHeritage.com.
There you go.
Where you get the picks?
You can get, but
I find when you drill out a lock, have a nice, sharp bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And try to do it with a dull bit, it's insane.
Dull bit. Operator, go ahead.
What I do is a flathead screwdriver, pound it into the lock, wrench.
And that's actually what Ron and I did last year to the Aztec, which we didn't want to tell Dr. Scott about. But
don't do it to a back
glass
lock.
No, not to a back glass lock. Not an to a door lock. And if you do that, guess what's going to be in the door behind the door? It's going to be the back glass keys. Okay, they should be kept in, or the extra key for the lock. I want to say this. Always keep the keys for the back in the machine. Don't put them up in a cabinet somewhere. Don't keep the paperwork somewhere else. Keep the paperwork, everything with the machine, with the machine. I have machines out on locations. Guess what? The paperwork is in there. Everything is in there so that if I have a problem, I have the information.
Okay.
And if you have the back door key paired,
yep.
Separate the two keys on the book separately.
Separately, exactly. Save yourself the crate. And you know what? What's that little piece of tape that you know you put around the key and you say back door key? You know, just with a Sharpie. 2 seconds of mine. Any other questions for the arcade repair? Go ahead.
Your crypt tool makes that.
Crypt tool. Okay. That's a good question. Talking about the, let's see. This is made by Walden. GC. Walden. Yeah. So. There are a bunch of other little tools. I'm always continuously learning. When you stop learning how to repair things, that's when they put you in the pinball cabinet and bury you down 8 feet. So just keep that in mind. Any other questions? No? Well, thank you very much for coming. We're going to give this over to Jersey Jack in a few seconds, and we're going to get them set up. Thank you.